First speaker, Chay Kanda from Shiki Properties. He spoke at our last summit for the first time and was a huge success. Obviously, we've invited him to come back. Shiki Properties are the masters of short-term stay and brokerage as well, but mostly covering the Kyoto, Osaka, and Nara as well, Nara area. Sometimes, yeah, and they've recently expanded even beyond that. So I'll let Chay do his own introduction, but please welcome to today's Chay Kanda from Shiki Properties.
This is for the room, but you also need to clip this on for the stream. Want to give us a hand?
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chay Kanda. It's my absolute pleasure to have this second opportunity to speak at this conference today. And I'm gonna be speaking on STR profitability, what moves the needle. So it's a real honor to be able to start off this summit. Obviously, you know, the VITA either expected me to be able to set the tone with a positive speech, or they wanna get me out of the way early, so one or the other. All right, so I'm gonna be touching on these topics today. Firstly, I'll give a bit of a summary about myself and my company, as well as a tourism market update. And then the meat of my talk will be on what moves the needle for STRs, followed by a little teaser of my breakout room, a few company updates, and then Q&A.
Wireless off for you, maybe that one will sound better.
Thanks, man. Okay, so, oops.
Go.
Okay, I'm back on. Okay, so just to recap, I was born in Australia and I got a Japanese mother. I got a law degree and a finance degree and I moved to Japan in 2007, splitting half my time between Osaka and Kyoto. I got 7 years experience in financial analysis and strategy. And I had a lot of belief in Japan's potential as a tourist destination and founded Shiki Properties in 2014 to ride this wave. I really feel strongly about protecting historical structures as well as promoting healthy, positive immigration and driving growth in Japan's tourist sector as well as the wider economy. Our company has a strong focus in Kyoto, but we're also having a look at some emerging regional areas. Okay, so just a quick overview of our company. We're Shiki Group. We've got offices in Kyoto and recently in Nagano. We've got 38 staff, and at the moment we're managing a portfolio of about 50 STR and monthly rentals, as well as 3 boutique hotels. One of which we just picked up last week and we're preparing at the moment. So our company has 2 main divisions. We have Shiki Properties, which is the accommodation management division. And then we have Shiki Real Estate, which is the brokerage. So the management part is the core part of our business. And in our brokerage, we mainly broker accommodation facilities, STRs, as well as hotels. Okay, so just wanted to provide a bit of a market update. Most people will be familiar that tourism is going pretty well here. And the brown line at the top is the numbers for 2025. So we've had general progression upwards every year. And this year is looking to break all records. And the JTB is forecasting that we're gonna clear 40 million tourists for the first time this year, which would be 9% year-on-year growth. I actually think we're gonna hit about 43 million, and that's gonna be 16% year-on-year growth. So the government target is 60 million. So I've just tried to illustrate what that might look like if we hit that target. So 43 million this year. Perhaps we can go to 48 next year, 53. And under this kind of progression, we would hit the 60 million in about 2029. I've got a feeling it might be a little bit slower than this. So the word on the street is that next year, the tours are booking a little bit more slowly. So it's quite possible we're going to have a flat or even a small. Or even just a small increase next year, but we're marching higher. And just for comparative purposes, Italy has 71 tourists a year, Spain has 94, and France has 100 million. Okay, so I wanted to provide a bit of a longer-term outlook on the tourism industry. So at the moment, we're having a bit of a growth period. It's ongoing. And then particularly in Kansai, we've had the expo this year, as well as the casino coming up in 2029. So there's a lot of tailwinds for Kansai. And then moving on to 2030 and beyond, we're probably going to have a shift from more from volume increases towards yield increases. So things like premium properties, culture, wellness, nature, and long stay work travel. And there's an expectation that the tourist spend will double by 2035. And after that point in time, we're going to see a very mature market, and the focus will move towards managing growth, crowd control, sustainability, and the like. This obviously brings some structural challenges, and the first one is that there's going to be a huge labor shortage. The expectation is that this is going to be a shortage of 500,000 by 2030, and this will be counterbalanced by automation, professional management, and AI to an extent. So what does this mean for STRs? And I feel like this means that profitability will hinge less on pure occupancy and more on factors that can increase RevPAR. And these include things like design, features, professional management. The increase in RevPAR is aligned with the government's goals and to move Japan from a pure numbers game to a more mature tourism market. And I'm going to be talking about some of these points in my speech today. Okay, so the weak yen is continuing to drive the demand into Japan. And what we've seen is that the hotel ADRs and the RevPAR are up substantially year on year. So pleasingly, our own ADR and RevPAR are up even more than the averages. And
sorry, what's a RevPAR?
So RevPAR is ADR times occupancy. And ADR is average daily revenue. So it's your average rate times the occupancy gives you the RevPAR. Okay. The big one to note there is Osaka occupancy is off the charts, 52.5% increase year on year driven by the expo. And last point down below there is that foreign residents are up substantially. We're up to 3.8 million in Japan now, which is a 358,000 increase last year. And there's about 1,000 new residents a day coming in, and the suggested target is about 1,500. Okay, so a little market snapshot here. For Kyoto short-term rentals, the average ADR is 26.6 thousand, and the average occupancy is 65%. So comparing that to our own numbers, our average ADR is about 35,000, and our occupancy is slightly higher at 67%. Some of that is capped by 180-day rentals, which pushes the occupancy down a little. For Osaka STRs, the market average is 18.3 thousand, and the average occupancy is 58 thousand. For us, our Osaka portfolio averages ADR of 20 thousand and 64% occupancy. There's been a lot of interest in the Osaka market of late. It's a more reasonably priced market, although there are some licensing changes incoming. Some of you may have heard about that. So I'll be touching on that in my breakout session about what kind of implications that may have on the Osaka market. But a lot of projects have been cancelled or postponed, And we feel like that is going to give rate support into next year. All right, so this is the main part of my speech. What moves the needle for STRs? And I think it's the factors below. Location, size, capacity, grade, features, and professional management. So I'm going to break these down one by one. So first up is location. So just to recap, the Kyoto STR market average ADR is 26.6 thousand and the average occupancy is 65%. Multiply these two together and you get the RevPAR of 17.3 thousand. So as I was putting this presentation together, I pulled a lot of market data, trying to justify my thoughts. And then I had a look at our own data, and actually our own data was quite different to the market data. So I completely scrapped the market data. I went with our own data, and I think it's a little bit more interesting. You guys can see the other stuff online. Next thing, I just apologize for my crude scribble there, but that green line, inside the green line there, is what I consider to be central Kyoto. So when I look at our data, inside that green line, we have an average ADR of 45.7 thousand. And our occupancy is 70%. This gives a RevPAR of 32,000 yen, which compares quite nicely to the market average, as you can see. So most interestingly is that when I look at the yield for these properties on a cash-on-cash basis, the average is 10.5% inside that green line. So the next zone that I want to have a look at is between the green line and the crudely scribbled red line. This zone is averaging 33.8 thousand ADR. And pleasingly, same occupancy, 70%. This gives a RevPAR of 23.5 thousand, which is 26% less than inside of the green line. And the key point here is that the yield has dropped to 8.9%. So what does that mean? It means that central properties are going to yield higher if you can afford them. So what lies outside of the red line? Well, I don't really have too much data on that because we generally don't accept those properties. And the reason is that I feel like the economics are just going to fall away. Your ADR is going to fall, your occupancy is going to fall. It's a little bit difficult to manage those kinds of properties and get a good performance for a management company. Also, the operational cost goes through the roof. So it's really a difficult dynamic to operate. In saying that, we do have some monthly rentals outside the red line. I think that is a something that's an opportunity. And the red line does seem to creep slowly outward as we get an increase in tourism and over time. Okay. All right, next point I want to touch on is size. So if we have a look at my graph there, I've broken it down into subsections. So between 1 and 60 square meter properties have an average ADR of about 40,000 yen and average RevPAR of about 30,000. And interestingly, the red line there shows the yield. The yield is on average about 9%. So moving on to the next subsection, we have 61 to 80 square meter properties. You can see that the ADR doesn't move that much. It's slightly higher, RevPAR slightly higher, yield slightly higher. We're coming in at about 9.1%. But it's the next move that's particularly to note, which is 81 to 100 square meters. So here we have a solid increase in ADR coming up to about 50,000, RevPAR following suit, but the yields moved substantially higher. So we're up to about 10.5% there for that size of property. And finally, above 101 square meters, we can see a huge lift in ADR and RevPAR. Although I'd like to note that this data set is a little bit warped. Those properties are actually higher quality, which is warping the numbers a little bit. So I'd be a little bit careful of taking something on isolation. I need a little bit of a blended analysis. But importantly, it's quite visible that we have a big uplift there. So yield for the larger properties is coming in at 11%. What's the takeaway? Larger, higher yield. And I think the sweet spot's clearly between the 81 and 130 square meters. So in saying that, I have a contrary example here. So this is a new property that we have called A34 Mibu. And as you can see from the floor plan, this one is a petite 32 square meters. But these owners have put in a lot of effort on the design, as well as marketing. So they've been featured in a number of magazines. They've got their own website. So, in general, larger properties, larger yield, but you can buck the trend by focusing on some other factors. Okay, so next one, I'm going to move on to guest capacity. So we can see here up to 5 guests has an ADR of 30,000 and a RevPAR of 20,000. And for these properties, the yield is a bit under 9%. Next category is the 6 to 8 person category. We can see a huge jump in ADR here, going from 30 to 50,000. And the RevPAR is solidly higher as well. And most notably, the yield has jumped substantially. So we're now up to 11% for this size of property. And lastly, nine person. I can probably remove that plus because 9 is the maximum allowed in Kyoto, but we can see an even higher ADR, a higher RevPAR, and a higher yield. So what is the takeaway? Big is better, 6 plus optimal. Although I would say to have 6 guests, you need to have 2 toilets by law. You also need substantial floor space. It's quite difficult to secure these properties, and obviously it costs a little more money. And here's an example of one of these properties. It's a new one for us called Cordia. This property has 4 bedrooms and a capacity of 8 people. And it's really banging it out of the park. Very impressive ADR, great occupancy, very pleasing result. Okay, so next factor I'd like to talk about is grade. Our company splits the properties up into 3 grades. So we have standard, premium, and then luxury. And I like to think of it as 3, 4, and 5 star approximately. So firstly, I'm going to start off with the standard properties. They have an average ADR of maybe 27,000. And the RevPAR is coming in at about 20. And the yield is about 8.3%. For the premium category, you can notice a substantial increase in ADR coming in at about 40-something thousand, and RevPAR is getting close to 30,000. But most importantly, the yield is now up at 10.5%. And then for luxury, ADR and RevPAR through the roof, but the yields actually come down. So what is the takeaway? I think the premium properties yield the best, and that's the priority for us as a management company. And this is an example of a premium property. It's called Seidan. You can see a little bit more space here and very nice renovation, quite beautiful style. Okay, moving on. So next factor, features and amenities. I think you can see in the States with the short-term rentals there, people seem to be going gangbusters with the features and everything. Not going to fit a pickleball court in Kyoto, but we can fit a few other items. So I've focused on a few there. First one is rotenburo or jacuzzi, you know, some kind of nicer bath. It's very difficult to quantify these figures, so these are just suggestions that I've found from the market, but the suggestion is that for a hot tub, you should be able to get an ADR boost of 15 to 35% and an occupancy lift of 4 to 10%. And this translates to an increase in RevPAR of 20 to 40%. So I was saying it's difficult to quantify, but actually we have a hotel where we have 8 rooms with no jacuzzi and 2 rooms with a jacuzzi. So the numbers for that hotel actually show a 62% increase in ADR. So very illustrative. So the next one is sauna. The suggestion is that sauna will give you a 5 to 15% increase in ADR, a 2 to 5% increase in occupancy, which translates to an 8 to 18% increase in RevPAR. We actually don't have any saunas at the moment, but we're working to install a few. So we're putting a few into our new hotel and also a property in Toyama that we're working on. And I was going to go through these in the breakout room and show the designs and things like that. So next factor would be garden, big living room, full kitchen. A few examples in these photos. This will give you a plus 5 to 10% ADR lift, 3 to 6 on the occupancy, and possibly something like an 8 to 15 on the RevPAR. And lastly, some other potential amenities would include things like a barbecue, a pool, biofit, gym, SUP, kayak, a boat, or even I've seen a car before. Obviously, none of these are not so data specific, but they can be nice and efficient.
And this is our Hotel Wiki Chikutiki for Brick.
Okay, so last one, professional management. So I do apologize for spitting my own horn, but professional management should give you a revenue you have. So it should be able to lift revenue by something around 5-58% on an ADR, depending on the performance of the management company. And occupancy should be up 5-10%. That should take you from an average occupancy of the 65% we were mentioning before, more towards like a 68-72%. And this translates to a RevPAR increase of 12-22%. So why are you going to get revenue increases? Well, things like direct bookings, optimal pricing strategy, more marketing, more sales channels, and also relationships with direct agents, things like that should give you revenue enhancements. This is going to give you a 0.8 to a 1.4 million yen increase per year for your average property. And on the right, I've tried to display that on the graph, taking the middle point there at 1.1 million. So moving on to cost savings, you should be able to get a 0.3 to 0.5 million a year cost saving on tools. So that would include things like channel manager, bulk ops, pricing software, things like that. You get some cost savings. Also, there'll be some time cost savings if you are not self-managing the property. So this calculation here, I've taken 2,000 yen an hour and the amount of time you'll save on communication and things like that. So putting all of that together, roughly, you'll save about 0.7 million yen a year. And then counterbalance with that, of course, is management costs. It's going to be 15 to 25% of gross revenue, depending on the management company and the property. So that on an average property, that would be 1.34 million a year. So overall, where do you sit? You actually end up with a plus 0.26 to 0.86 million gain per year using a professional management company, approximately half a million on average. And another, a new property that we recently hosted Mr. Nicholas Pettis at. I don't know if anyone saw that video, but very nice to have him in Kyoto. Okay, so I would encourage everyone to invest smart and know what moves the needle on STRs. So a central location, size hitting a sweet spot of between 81 to 130 square meters, going for 6+ guests, add a premium grade, add a few amenities in there, and consider professional management. So if you can hit as many of these factors as possible, it's just going to compound your gains in RevPAR, yield, and long-term asset value. So just for example, if you wanted to hit all of these in Kyoto, you're probably looking at about 85 to 100 million yen. Anyone wants to put this strategy in play, please contact us. We'll try and execute that for you. And if you have a lower budget, we'll try and source the highest performing property we can with your budget. So we can offer brokerage, design consulting, licensing, and of course, full management. So in the breakout room, just going to go through a few of our new larger properties where we're featuring a bunch of those amenities that I just referred to. So I show some designs there and talk about that. And I'll also drill down a little bit more on the Osaka market. So as I mentioned before, Osaka market has a lower investment point than Kyoto and very strong outperformance this year due to the expo. But I feel that that's going to fall away next year. I think ADRs will retreat. I think acquisition prices will retreat. There may be some opportunities. And then that is counterbalanced by some potential regulatory changes. So I'll be chatting about that. And here's an Osaka property that we manage. Okay, a couple of other updates. So our Nagano office is underway. In Nagano, we're offering both brokerage and management, both of STRs and vacation homes. And we're onboarding several management properties for the upcoming season. We're also preparing to list one ski lodge for sale. And the first cut of the numbers are eye-watering. If anybody's interested in that kind of property, please follow us on our Instagram. Or also, if you go to the Shiki Real Estate website, you can sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter is where we'll send that information out first. So if you're interested to have a look at it, please sign up. We've got some interesting rural projects we're working on in Toyama. We have five houses in this place called Uchikawa. That's ongoing. I've also got a hotel and put an offer out on in Kyotango, a few others in the works. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, you can follow me on LinkedIn and, you know, maybe there'll be an opportunity to co-invest on some of those projects. And I'd like to thank you very much for this opportunity. And I'd like now take some Q&A.
Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Oh, here we are.
Chai, how long is the, what's the timeline look like to generate those returns you were talking about when you take on a professional management organization?
Right, so you mean from the point that it starts running or the point that you buy the property?
The point that you buy the property.
Okay, so
or just take, buy the property.
Yeah, well, it's going to take quite some time. So if it's unrenovated, you can expect at least 12 months, I think, to complete the renovation and get the licensing. 9 to 15 months, perhaps. And then there's always going to be like a ramp-up period to get your yield higher. So if you can time it and you can open around the peak season, you can get a pretty fast takeoff. One of the properties I was showing earlier, Kōjū, it's really exploded very quickly. So that suggests that if you have a great property, great size, some of those factors I was mentioning before, you can hit some pretty good numbers like fairly quickly, maybe even within 6 months. Maybe give it a year to hit like peak numbers, a lot faster than a hotel. A hotel will take up to 3 years usually to get to peak performance.
I've not seen anything under 6 months from buy to launch. Because it's licensing and renos.
Yeah, even longer in Kyoto with all that stuff.
You need both.
Awesome. Chai, thank you so much.
Yeah,
quick question. On your previous slide, you said there were three key factors. One was the location. Another one was size. And what was the third, I believe?
Yeah, actually, so had six. So I can go through it again. Yeah, so location, size, capacity, and then the grade. So the grade is referring to renovation, furniture, and also design.
Yeah, style.
Yeah. Yeah, so a factor of those three. And then your amenities, the list that I was sharing before, and then finally professional management. Those were the six that I went with today.
With the ABC, the previous one, I think, you know, I do real estate here in Tokyo a lot. So of those three in particular, which are probably the most important or the most impactful if you had to choose?
Yeah, so it's really difficult to assess that, but I think it's location, 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 right? So I probably put location first, and then really B and C can be kind of the same thing, like pretty similar. So location and size is probably next out of these two. But in saying that, I think actually the grade is super important. Having a premium quality grade, that will really give you higher performance. I think when I was showing the graphs there, the jump between standard and premium was the most extreme jump on any of the graphs. So maybe that is coming out at number one. Maybe people would travel a little bit further for high quality property.
Thank you.
Because we've got people on the stream, so we need both of those together. Yep.
Okay.
So we can hear you.
The 81 to 130 square meter building, like how many rooms is that? Like, what does that look like? I'm trying to visualize.
Yeah. That one. So that one is called Modern Machiamibu. It's for sale. So it's got four bedrooms and then one like common area where you can roll out another bed, but four quite large rooms. So Kilda is actually capped at maximum 9 people. So at some point it's counterproductive to have more rooms. But yeah, I think that 130, that's the biggest one that we've got. I have heard of some stuff up at around 200 square meters, but it's going to cost you.
You got to factor in luggage too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a home that you renovate and make nice and all these features.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, yes. So in Kyoto, there's a lot of regulatory benefits to having a machia, so an older property, because the city wants to protect them. So it's quite challenging to find a large machia property that's available, let alone at good value at the moment. But, you know, they do come up from time to time and we try and jump on those.
And I guess the last question on that, what type of capital investment would you need to, you know, from start to finish with a project like that?
Yeah, so the number that I was suggesting to hit all of these targets was 85 to 100 million. But, you know, the sky's the limit, really. So looking at some of the high quality, like luxury machias for sale at the moment, they're coming out at about 300 million. Yeah. So if you renovate yourself, you can whittle that cost down. But then, of course, it's going to take time to prepare the property. You have to absorb those costs. And then it's going to take time to ramp up. So, you know, that needs to be factored in.
Hi. Just wondering, why did you choose Nagano as your part of your expansion plans? I'm from Azumino.
Yeah.
So I'm just interested why.
Obviously, Nisiko's had a huge run up in price. So a lot of people just been priced out moving to Nagano. So I feel like Nagano's going to have a run. The properties are still quite reasonably priced in some areas. And I think it's just going to have a lot more demand over the coming period. The demand should push up the price. And then added to that, my friend moved there and he's got 15 years management experience in Nisiko, and he wanted to open up. So it's a combination of those two things. And I've been up there to have a look recently. Yeah, it's very interesting, different market. And we're starting to see a few numbers come through there. So very interesting.
Is the second toilet for 6+ a local law or a Japan-wide law?
I think it's local. I'm pretty sure.
It's a minpaku. It's a minpaku thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's one toilet for every four to five people, right, in Tokyo. Yeah.
Tokyo as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same for ryokangyo as well. I thought it was a local rule for that, but maybe it's nationwide.
Stream. Where's the stream?
There's a lot of rules.
Where's the stream?
By the way, you don't want to get them wrong.
Yeah. Okay, we've got a couple from the stream. What's the average acquisition premium grade price in Kyoto and in Osaka?
Yep. So Kyoto, you can get some stuff for maybe 70 million, I would say, for premium. Yep. 70 to 80. Okay, my staff's telling me 100, so somewhere between that. Osaka's really come up in price quite a lot. We're seeing some stuff, maybe 60 million. Yeah, we've got some properties that are available at the moment.
And one more from the stream. Regarding funding for these properties, are they all done in cash? Or would there be any options to finance if that made sense?
Yeah, so at the moment, It's cash, unfortunately. Japanese banks are not so supportive of purchases, even for Japanese companies, actually. So if I wanted to do it, like, I have to pay cash as well. So it's very tricky there. I'm hoping some solutions come up in the medium to long term, having a bit of a look at that as well. But that would be great.
And one more, how many employees are in the property management side and how many are in the brokerage side? I'm guessing this is you personally?
Yeah. Thank you. And so mostly in the management side, accommodation management is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So it's really a high cost business. So I think I have with 38 staff and we have maybe about to be 5 in the real estate division, and the rest would be in the property management division.
I think that's it, unless there's some more questions from the floor. Oh, you got one. Okay. Oh, we've got one more down here too.
Okay. I was just wondering, you can probably just going to brush me away, but you don't have numbers for Nagano yet, do you?
Not that I can share, but I do have a dodgy back of the envelope one, and I'm nervous about saying it because it was a very high number, and I'm thinking I better double check that, but it'd be worth having a look at for people who are interested in that. By the way, that particular ski lodge, it's going to be 75 million. So if you're in the ballpark for that, sign up to our newsletter, have a look. But yeah, very interesting property.
And where was that hand?
Hi, Chai. Hey. Sorry.
There you go.
Hi, Chai. How you doing? I got to get both on here. So this is sort of a prediction question, I guess, but considering that the Japanese sentiment of the people and the politicians, it seems, has kind of turned against tourism and, immigration, do you think that's going to affect this type of STR business in the future? And what are you preparing to do to deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets more publicity, those kind of stories. I think, like, good stories. But I think for the most part, people are still fine about immigration. And, it's absolutely essential for this country that immigration continues. Maybe tourism's, been blasted a little bit of late. The government target is 60 million people. We're at 40 million people. So, I was joking the other day that it's under tourism, it's not over tourism. But I think what needs to happen is more dispersion, a bit more management of the crowds settle everything down again. But I expect tourism to be extremely strong in Japan going forward. It's the second biggest industry in this country. I still think there's a lot of potential there. But there will be some changes. So, the Tokuminpaku law in Osaka has been, looks like it's going to be changed. But to be honest, I'm not surprised at all. I expected it to be changed. It's a special rule that was basically built for the expo. Expo is done. I don't think there's too many surprises there. And what is the real implication of that? Well, maybe there's going to be a restriction on occupancy. So does that mean that Toku Minpaku is gone, but now Minpaku is still in existence? So that means you're going down from a average occupancy of 58% for the city down to 50. So it's really going to change that much. Like, I think it's still a bit early to see what happens, what the implications are. But yeah, I think people like to sell the story a little bit.
Chai, you were saying that you're gonna hopefully dig into Osaka at least a little bit in the private room a little bit later.
That's great.
So I'm guessing you're gonna be addressing it there, but there's just been some major changes there to the Minpaku special exception zone, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was just wondering, you said the tourist spend would double by 35.
Yeah.
What's the rationale for that?
I didn't come up with that.
No, calculation. I saw you had a source there, but I was just wondering if there was any more.
I mean, if you're really unfair, I mean, inflation's probably going to be like 40% anyway. So does that leave 60%? So, I mean, okay. Yeah. But the government wants to increase spend rather than increase the numbers just purely through numbers, which makes a lot of sense. You know, infrastructure's clearly creaking and I think it makes sense to focus on, you know, spend per tourist. So I think an investment strategy that supports that would be smart as well.
Thank you very much. Any more questions? Any more hands? No. So thank you very much. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Actually, I would like to know that if I had a property in Kyoto and if I only want to renovate it to a 4-star preferences, how much would it be costing me? Or if you are available in any other city, like it's not in Kyoto, not in your best area, you are actually specializing in, but it's other part of Japan, can you help us?
So we're not a renovation company, actually. So we work with renovators. A lot of the renovation companies in Kyoto don't speak English. It can be very difficult for foreign buyers to work with them. And often the buyers are not in the country anyway, so it's even more challenging. So we'll work with those companies. We can give you a selection and you can choose the one that you prefer. You can also work with architects and things like that. We can do Osaka as well. And perhaps Nagano, but I think that's about it for the moment. So, we're focused on management and the real estate. So it wouldn't be nationwide at the moment. I think there's Blanca and who can help you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you talk Blanca into it, you might be able to pull her to Kyoto for a project or two, I think. All right, any more questions? No? Then thank you very much, Chai.
Thank you very much, everybody. Cheers.
Chai is going to be in the back room, in the private room. Sorry to the streamers, which is not being streamed. But if you would like to do some case studies with him and look specifically at Osaka, just pick his brain a little bit more. So he'll be moving there in about 10 minutes time, at which point Emil will be here giving us all updates and case studies, I believe, about mortgages, home mortgages in Tokyo. Thank you.
Hey. Yeah.